Be reading from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 from the English Standard Version. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. May God bless the reading of His infallible, inspired, and inerrant Word, and bless it to the nourishment of our hearts. You may be seated.
Galatians chapter 4, if you would like to keep your Bibles open to that text, you might find it useful as we're just going to walk through it briefly together. As we've been having Christmas not only in the church, but all around us in our society, we have a particular version of Santa Claus here in America that focuses on the jolly man who gives toys to children. And there's some fun in that. And some of the Christmas programs focus on this legend of Santa Claus as one who goes around giving toys to children. And I guess in some ways that can communicate something of the nature of Christmas in terms of gracious giving. But maybe particularly when we think of an impoverished family maybe being helped by some gifts that Santa brings. But there's actually a story about St. Nicholas that probably goes a little bit closer to the heart of what Christmas is all about. Is when Nicholas, St. Nicholas, who was a bishop, discovered that there was a family in his community, a man, a widower, who had three daughters whom he needed to marry off because he was too poor to support them throughout the rest of their lives. And so they had no money, and in that time, girls in their estate were expected to give a dowry to their husbands-to-be so that they could have a start in life together. But this family had no money for a living, much less for a dowry. And so Nicholas, learning of their problem, took from his own money and tossed it in through the father's window one night. And it was enough money to be a dowry for one of those daughters, as well as to support the family for a while, maybe a year or so. And then after a while, the second daughter grew up, and it was time for her to marry off, and they still were penniless now. They had spent up the money that Nicholas had left, and so he throws in another bag, and so on it goes. Now, Nicholas was not just giving toys for the girls to play with. He wasn't just giving them money to spend. He was saving them from a life of slavery, because the only option that the father would have had were two, one of which I will not mention, and the other was to sell them into slavery in order to support himself and give them some sort of livelihood. So really, Nicholas was rescuing these girls from slavery. And that's a little closer to the heart of what Christmas is. Christmas is not just God giving a gift to humanity, or God giving a gift to His people. Christmas is a rescue mission. And that's what this text tells us here in Galatians chapter 4. That He sent His Son to redeem us from under the law. And to adopt us as His sons. It was a rescue mission. Because we were in a deadly situation. Anyone who is apart from the Lord Jesus Christ is in dire straits. When we look at this text, we see, first of all, that God gives when He has first taught us our helplessness. He gives to us when He has first taught us helplessness. He uses this phrase here in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come. We go back up to the earlier part of chapter 4. We find that the fullness of time is the time when the father deems that the child is mature enough to enter into his inheritance, to receive the father's goods. And it's the father's choice when that time comes. Now, the analogy that Paul is using here of a child growing up into maturity, he is using as an analogy for the people being under the law. As long as they're under the law, they're like minors. And the law is their tutor, training them and teaching them about life. But ultimately, what the law is teaching them is that they will never measure up. The law is teaching them that they cannot be good enough. And so Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to redeem us from under the law. But the law is given to us as a teacher. We need to be taught this lesson that Paul really expounds on in Galatians 3 and 4, and that is that we will never measure up to God's standard of righteousness, and therefore we will never be able to make ourselves acceptable in the sight of God. Now, on the one hand, that's bad news, but it's bad news that is necessary for us to understand the good news of Christmas. You know, we need to be taught our weakness. I had this lesson. It's a hard lesson to learn, and I learned it in a slightly different way. Not too long ago, a friend of mine he had bought a gun safe, and they'd loaded it up with a forklift on a pallet onto his trailer. And when he got it home, he had read on somewhere on the internet that four guys would be able to move this safe into his home. And so he called me up. He says, "You know, hey man, would you mind helping me move this safe into my house?" "Yeah, sure." So I came over there, and there's three of other guys there when I got there, and we're studying this thing. It's pretty big and it's very heavy. And so he tells me, "You know, yeah, according to this blog I read, it's four of us, so we ought to be able to get it." And I sized the thing up, and they were all very skeptical. They were all kind of like, "I don't know. I really don't think that's a four-man job." And I'm looking at the thing, and I think it's like my dad told me when I was home earlier this weekend. He said, "You know, your grandfather," and my grandfather was a man who could have easily played a store Santa Claus. Okay, he had the nice, you know, not the beard, but you know, the other parts you need to play Santa Claus. But he said to me, he says, "You know, your grandfather, he always thought of himself as he looked in the picture of himself from World War II. That's how he envisioned it. Even in his old age, when he was terribly out of shape, in his mind, he was that young man in that photo. I guess in my mind, you know, I was, you know, maybe 20 years old again. And I'm looking at that safe and I'm saying, yeah, look at him. I know I can deadlift a couple hundred pounds, no problem. Let's do this." So a couple of guys, they were kind of, you know, a little skeptical, but they said, "Well, we'll give it a try. Let's go." Okay, so I bent down and grabbed a hold of one of the corners, and a couple of guys grabbed a hold of some other corners, and pushed, and that thing did not move. And I learned a very sad lesson about my inability and my weakness. So we had to wait until we had the right tools to get that thing in the house. God gives us the law to show us our inability. It is a law that is perfect, and it demands perfection. Jesus said to us that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, "You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's what the law requires. And that is a weight that we cannot lift. It is a righteousness that we cannot attain. And Paul says here, speaking of the fullness of time, is a time in which God has taught his people about this inability. He has revealed to them their weakness. And when this time has come, when God has determined that this has been demonstrated, it has been illustrated, everyone ought to get this. In fact, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes because they didn't get it, right? They thought, "Hey, we're fine before God. We're meticulous in our observance of the law. We're very careful in our obedience to God. And so, you know, we are on good standing. Now, the rest of you, you've got problems, and you better start figuring out what you're going to do. But we're in good shape." And Jesus came along and told them they were not in good shape at all. And he had a series of woes or denunciations of their self-righteousness. And this is what God wants to teach us before he sends us his gift, before he sends us the Christ. He wants to disabuse us of the myth that we can be good enough, that we can stand before God in our own righteousness when the fullness of time had come. Are you humbled enough at the realization of what God requires and what you are capable of to say, I need a Savior. I need a gift from God because I cannot earn it on my own. Well, the second thing that Paul tells us and shows us here is that God gives a gift sufficient to rescue us from our helplessness. A sufficient gift. Look at the description here of God's gift. It says God sent forth His Son. So first of all, we see, you know, that this is no ordinary hero that is sent to rescue us from our sins and rescue us from the condemnation of the law. But this is none other than God's Son. This is God in the flesh. This speaks of His deity. And then it tells us that He was born of woman, which indicates His humanity. He is born of woman. Now, granted, He was born of a virgin, so His birth was not normal in one sense, because there was no normal means of a husband and a wife coming together. But the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and a child was conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit, and that child was born of Mary, a true human being. The Bible says that He was like us in all ways, except He had no sin. And so here is one who is God, and yet He is also man. He's human. He's like us. And yes, He experiences the physical weakness of our humanity. He gets hungry, and He gets thirsty, and He gets tired. He was born of woman, but He was also born under the law. This is a phrase that Paul uses in Galatians to refer to what I think theologians would be accurate to say, refer to as the covenant of works. That Christ is born under the covenant of works, in which God demands perfect obedience to His law. Now, of course, Adam was also born into this covenant of works and was required of perfect obedience from God. That's what Adam was to give. And yet, we know the story well. Adam and Eve did not give perfect obedience to God. And so because of their covenant breaking and their unfaithfulness to God, they were cast out of the garden, exiled from the presence of God. So here, Christ, who is God and man, is where Adam was in the garden, given a law to obey, born under the law. And how does Christ do? He is able to say, and unlike any of us, Jesus is able to say, everything I do pleases the Father. Everything I do pleases the Father. The testimony of the apostles in inspired scripture is He never sinned. He never failed. So He kept God's law perfectly. But He didn't just do it for Himself. He could have kept God's law perfectly as God, but He kept God's law perfectly as man so that He might do it in our place. So that He might give His obedience to the Father for us. So that we can stand before God not in our righteousness, which is as filthy rags in the sight of God, but we can stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is perfect, unblemished. Now, all of this to say He is God, He is perfect man, He fulfills the law perfectly, is to say that what the gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ is sufficient for us. It is full, and we need not add to it. If you have a glass that is completely full, it would be foolish to add to it, right? All you do is make a mess. Well, the reality is when we try to add to the finished work and the perfect work of Jesus Christ, that's what we do. We make a mess. And that's what Paul is writing to the Galatians about, is warning them about trying to rely on their own works to earn them favor with God. And what Paul is trying to convince them of here in this letter is what Christ has done is sufficient. It is full. And you must not. Not only is it unwise, but you must not add to it, because to try to add to it is to compromise the gift that God has given. Paul would actually call it another gospel, which is not a gospel. In other words, another message which at the end of the day isn't good news at all. The idea that God does a little something for us in sending Christ, but then we add to that with our own effort and our own works to be able to appear before God one day as righteous. And Paul says, oh no, that is not good news. It is all of Christ. It is all of grace. Are you trusting in Christ alone? He was born under the law so that he might redeem us who were under the law. That's the rescue mission. You see, our being under the law doesn't just mean that we were being told what to do. What Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 is that all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Why are we under a curse? Well, he says it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. That's where the curse comes. See, if I could keep the law perfectly, the law would be a blessing to me. God's law is a blessing. It's a good thing, but I can't keep it perfectly. And so my disobedience to God's law brings a curse upon me. And so the rescue mission is that I was under the law. I was under this curse. But Christ rescued us. He rescued me from this curse, from under the law. How does he do it? Well, he lives a perfectly obedient life. He never once offends against God's law. In that case, Jesus should have never died, because what the wages of sin is death. That's what Paul says in the book of Romans. The wages of sin is death. Now, Christ never sinned. So we would say Christ shouldn't have died. And yet we know Christ did die. We've confessed that already several times tonight, that Christ did die. So why did he die if he had no sin? Well, going back to verse 10 of chapter 3, he says, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. And then in verse 13, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us. Christ became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And Christ hung on the cross in our place, bearing our sin. He, the Blessed One, who brings blessing to all the nations of the earth, became a curse for us, so that we, in Christ Jesus, might have the blessing of Abraham. So that God would reward us, that God would bless us, as though we had kept His law perfectly. Although we haven't. But Christ has done it in our place. And He has taken our punishment in our place. This is a gift that is sufficient to rescue us from our helplessness. And then briefly and finally, God gives us a gift able to reveal to us our sonship. He redeems us from under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And verse 6 says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so, not only are we redeemed from under the law, redeemed from the curse, rescued from death, but we are also adopted as God's children, as God's sons, as His heirs. Now, today I watched a child open a gift, and she didn't understand what it was. It took her several minutes of studying it and studying the box and opening the box and trying to what it wasn't anything she'd asked for. So she kind of figured, what is it? And we were asking her, what is it? What is it? And she really couldn't tell us what it was. She had no idea. And in many ways, the Christian has a very small understanding of what it is to be in Christ when we first come to know Christ. We would know that we're sinners and that we're helpless before God to be able to present ourselves to Him and be accepted by Him. We know that much. We know that Christ died so that we would be rescued from that condition, so that we could be reconciled to God and have peace with Him and know Him and know His love for us. We know that much. We know that without Christ, we're lost. But there's much that we don't know about the gift that God's given to us in Christ. There's much that we don't know about this gift of salvation. And so the Bible says He has given us of His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, who teaches us, who reveals to us the glory of this gift. Jesus said that He would send the Spirit to disclose to His disciples the things concerning Himself. And that's what the Spirit does. He comes and He opens our hearts and our minds to understand more and more of the glory of Jesus Christ and the glory of our salvation. And as He does, He proclaims to us our adoption. And He says to us, you are the children of God. You are a child of God. You are beloved of God. And when we stumble, and when we fail, and we doubt and say, was it all a mistake? As so many people say, well, you know, Christianity just didn't seem to work. Somehow or another, it's you push a button and it's supposed to perform like a microwave or something. And suddenly I come out and I'm all better. No, we fail. We stumble. Even the children of God. And so He has given us His Spirit crying out in our hearts. It's the Spirit who's crying out here in Galatians, crying out in our hearts, Abba, Father. Now, Paul will say in Romans chapter 8 that not only is the Spirit crying in our hearts, He's bearing witness to us that we are the children of God, but the Spirit, but by the Spirit, we then are also crying out, Abba, Father. And so the Spirit comes to explain to us this glorious gift that God has given us in sending His Son, born of a woman and born under the law, to redeem us who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. This is a rescue mission. Not just toys for us to play with, but rescuing us from our sin, rescuing us from death. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you've never called on Him to save you, then I want to encourage you to do that tonight. And if you've got questions, no doubt you would have questions, and you need some further explanation, any one of the people sitting around you would be glad to stay. I will be glad to stay and talk with you and to pray with you. Maybe you came with someone that you're comfortable talking to. You don't want to talk to a stranger. Then just grab the person that you came with and talk to them. But apart from Jesus Christ, we have no standing before God. If you haven't learned that yet, I pray that tonight you will see that. That His law demands a perfect righteousness. We can't give it, but He's given it to us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, who redeems us from our sins and makes us Your sons, so that we can call upon You as our Father, so that we can have the assurance of an inheritance with You forever and ever. I pray, Father, that You would help us to trust You only and trust You always. And may we never try to add to the finished work of Jesus Christ, but to rest in its sufficiency and to serve You as sons out of love, out of gratefulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.